who to thank, because I know there's been a lot of people that have been involved, especially with the food this week. I'll tell you what, every time we walk in that place, it's like, wow, there's another feast here. And it seems like there's always another dessert that shows up on the table. It's just absolutely been amazing. So each one of you that have had a part in that, thank you so much for that and all the other things that go into this. Because, you know, as missionary pastors, we know what goes into a conference like this. We've been on the other side of it, and you folks have worked hard, and it shows. And thank you so much for all that you've done to prepare for our coming and being able to be here tonight. Let's start with a word of prayer tonight. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here in your house. And God, once more, I just want to stop now and ask for your help as we look into your word. Lord, I do not want to bring this message in the power of the flesh. And so, Lord God, please fill me with your spirit. Empty me of myself so that I can be filled with your spirit. And Lord, I pray that tonight this would be a time that would edify, it would encourage, it would exhort. Lord, that indeed it would make an eternal difference in our lives. And God, I pray that you'd be with us and help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. For those of you who have not been with us, we're working our way from verse number 1 through verse number 12, starting on Wednesday night. And Lord willing, tonight we will finish. Now, I do know that some of you are very nervous at this point in time, because some of you have been doing the math and you realize that the first night, on Wednesday night, we covered three verses. And we spent a little over 30 minutes covering three verses. Some of you also noticed that last night we covered two verses. And we spent a little over 30 minutes covering those two verses. And some of you have added up and realized that we have seven verses to do tonight. Now, I just want you to know I had a plan, okay? There is a method to the madness here. You see, that's why I've saved this till Friday night, because most of you get to sleep in tomorrow. So if I go overtime, it won't be quite as bad as if I had done it last night or the night before, all right? Now, tonight is a little different message in that the first two nights of this are kind of foundational, and I really want to present God's viewpoint, if you will, on giving as far as his focus is not on the money. His focus is on our hearts. And what he really wants is us. And if he has us, the money issue is not going to be an issue. You know, we just need to trust him. I find it interesting as Christians, and I mean, this is for me too. You know, we can trust God with our soul, but sometimes we have trouble trusting him with our pocketbook and our wallet. It's an amazing thing to me, but that's human beings. These are things that we need to overcome and think about and be challenged about from God's Word. So tonight, the message, as we pick up where we left off last night, starting in verse 6, going down to verse number 12, this is a, if you will, a practical message, if you will, the nuts and bolts of faith promise giving or grace giving. So let's begin in verse 1, do a little review, work our way to verse number 6. He says, moreover, brethren, verse 1, we do to wit, we want you to know about the grace of God, a very specific grace, the grace of giving, how it was bestowed on the churches at Macedonia, despite, verse number 2, the great trial of affliction and the deep poverty that they were in. They experienced joy, and it all abounded to the riches of their liberality. They gave, verse number 3, not only to their power, which would be sacrificially, but they gave beyond their power, that is, supernaturally, and they did all this willingly. They were willing of themselves. They wanted to do it and to be a part of this offering. So much so, when Paul came to get this offering, verse 4, they were praying him with much entreaty that he would receive the offering and this gift, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, an offering that was not going to stay within their local assembly, but an offering for others, an offering given to a missionary to help them meet the needs, establish and strengthen the church at Jerusalem. This they did, verse number 5, which we said is the key to this, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. That's the very beginning. That's where it has to start, giving ourselves to him. Now, how do we go about giving this offering? Verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about what Titus had to do, what role he played in this offering, but nonetheless, he was involved. But notice the Bible says there, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Again, what grace is he talking about? He's talking about the grace of giving. as it had been bestowed on the churches at Macedonia. Hey, Paul says, I want to see this same grace bestowed on you, church at Corinth. Then he goes on in verse number 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, I don't know if you caught this or not, but did you see there that Paul gave 5 compliments to the church at Corinth? You understand, that's a difficult thing to do. You see, the church at Corinth was a carnal church. But nonetheless, he says, hey, you're abounding in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us. And he says, that's great. He says, continue to abound in those things. And are we not as Christians involved in a lot of things in ministry? Maybe it's Sunday school, maybe it's junior church, maybe it's the van route, the bus route, you know, whatever it is. And I think God would say to us the same thing. Hey, continue to abound in those things. Don't give up. Continue on. Be faithful. But notice Paul here says to the church, but see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace is that? The grace of giving, being involved in this offering. He says, did you catch the word abound? See that ye abound in this grace also. What's he saying? He's saying, well, you know, when you make a commitment, you decide what God would have you to give. Make sure you're not just tipping God. Don't give God just the leftovers. Spend whatever you want. And, well, if there's a few coins left over at the end of the month, the end of the week, you know, we'll just throw that in. We'll give that. No. That's not what this offering is about. He said, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, I want to go on record that I did not skip verse number 8. Verse 8 is extremely important for us to understand. Paul says there, I speak not by commandment. What's Paul saying? He's simply saying, you don't have to do this. It is not a command. And I think some people get the idea of, well, you know, since you've been preaching about this, this is something we have to do. No. I did not skip verse number 8. I speak not by commandment. So I don't know how else to say it except that you don't have to fill out one of these. You don't have to be involved in this offering. This is a voluntary thing. And by the way, this is one of the things that makes it different than the tithe. Because the tithe already belongs to the Lord. Lord, it's just a simple command and we just by obedience give it Him what already belongs to Him. But see, this is over and above the tithe. This is not a command. We don't have to be involved. Now, I also want to go on record that I didn't skip the last part of verse number 8 either. Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. What's he talking about? He's saying, you don't have to do this, but you better stop and think about the forwardness of others or the example of others. Who's he speaking about? Those churches at Macedonia. He's saying, you don't have to be involved in this, Corinth, but before you decide to not be involved, you better stop and think about the example that's been set by those churches at Macedonia. Corinth, you're doing well financially. Corinth, you're not in a great trial of affliction. Corinth, you're pretty well spoiled. And look at the churches at Macedonia. And all that God has done through them. Paul says, I wouldn't want you to miss out on God's grace. To be a part of that. You don't have to be involved. No. But before you decide not to be, stop and think about the churches at Macedonia. I believe God says the same thing to you and I. We don't have to be involved either. But before we decide to say no, let's look at the example of the churches at Macedonia. Think about what we've talked about the last two nights and the example they've set. But notice he also says this, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He says, you know, you don't have to get involved, but you do understand this is a way to prove the sincerity of your love to God. Now, I dare say that if I went around the room tonight and I asked each one individually, do you love God? I assume that everyone in this room would nod their head, they'd say yes, and you would agree, yes, I love God. But you know, God's giving us an opportunity to go beyond that and not just say with our mouth, Lord, I love you, but to show with our actions, to demonstrate with our finances, Lord, I love you. You know, if I just continually told my wife, sweetheart, I love you, sweetheart, I love you, but I never gave her any money for groceries, never put a roof over her head, never bought her any clothes. My wife would begin to doubt my love for her, despite the fact that I continually said, I love you, sweetheart. Hey, listen, I want to do more than just say to my wife, I love you. I want to demonstrate my love to her. Now, how much more when it comes to God? I want to do more than just say with my mouth, God, I love you. I want to show him with my finances, God, I love you. And you've heard the saying before, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And you remember, Jesus said that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. They are inseparably linked. You can't get them apart. And what's Jesus trying to say? I believe one of the things he's trying to say is this. Those things in life that we care about the most, generally speaking, they will be the things that we will spend the most money on. And generally speaking, those things that we love the least are the things that we will spend the least money on. Do this little test in your own mind tonight. Look down through your checkbook in your mind's eye and find out in your checkbook, what is it that you spend the most money on? Probably it's the thing that you love the most, generally speaking. Or what is it in your checkbook that you spend the very least on, or what do you not spend any money on? Generally speaking, it's going to be those things that you love the least. Now here's the question. Where in that list does God fall? Where is God in that list? When it comes to what you give to God, how does it compare to anything else in your checkbook? Hey, what an amazing way God gives us to prove the sincerity of our love. We don't have to be involved. Paul says it, verse number 8. But before we make that decision to not be involved, we better stop and think about the example of others. And we better stop and think about the fact that this is a way to prove the sincerity of our love to God. And you know, just in case that that is not enough for us to consider, I believe Paul puts verse number 9 in there. And he says, you really need to think about this one. He says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see the ultimate example of grace giving? It's Jesus Christ himself. He was in heaven, and he gave up heaven to come to this earth. He became poor, not so that he could gain something, but so that you and I could be made rich in him, spiritually speaking. What an amazing thing to think about. He gave up everything. And as we consider what Jesus Christ has done for us, how can we not be involved? How can we not do whatever it is he lays on our hearts to do so that we can take an opportunity to say to him in a tangible way, Lord, I love you and thank you for what you've done for me. Now, Paul goes on, verse number 10, he says, and herein I give my advice. So he's going to give some advice. He says, for this is expedient for you. Now let me make sure you see what Paul's saying there. He's not saying this is expedient for the missionary. Now we'll say this, it is expedient for the missionary. We know that. As missionaries, we like to buy groceries. You know, I like to eat. You know, it's just one of those things. And I've never been able to go to the grocery store and say, well, I'm a missionary, so you just give me whatever I want for free, right? It just doesn't fly. It just doesn't happen, you know. So when I receive support from churches, hey, praise God, it's expedient for me. I use that money and, hey, I'm thankful for it. Praise God. But Paul's not saying here it's expedient for the missionary. It's expedient for the folks that are going to receive this offering. He's saying this is expedient for you. The ones who are giving the offering. Now, in all seriousness, I have 11 points here as to why and how this is expedient for us who give. And it is a whole nother message all by itself, and we probably would be here close to midnight if I started on that list. So I'm not going to go down through that list, but I just want to name two just very quickly. Number one, it exercises our faith. As we give a faith promise offering, as we give by grace, it stretches us. And you know, you've heard the expression, with exercise, no pain, no gain. I'm going to tell you, if you get involved, there's going to be some pain if you step out by faith. But that pain is going to build your faith. You know, this week, what has happened in your life that you can point to and say, you know what? That particular thing that built my faith, that made me stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably for most of us, that list might be a little bit short. But I tell you what, every time I get ready to write that faith promise check, God's saying, yo, there you go. It's going to stretch you a little bit, but it's going to grow your faith. But I also have to mention this one because I love this one. Another way this is expedient for you and I, this is an opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. You know, you can't take it with you. You've heard that expression. But I'm so glad we can send it on up ahead. This is kind of like a deposit ticket for the bank of heaven. And we can fill out that deposit slip and say, Lord, this is what I want to send on up ahead. And I got to tell you that this treasure, it's never going to rust. Thieves aren't going to break through and steal. Fire can't get to this. There's no way this is going away. This is for all eternity. Hey, this is expedient for those who get involved and for those who will give. Herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward. In other words, to be resolved, determined, to be excited about being involved a year ago. Now, those three words there, a year ago, we could probably just read them and just, you know, skip over them, not think much about them. But I want us to stop and think about those words. Every word of Scripture is there for a reason. God's inspired every word of Scripture for us. And I think there's at least two lessons we can learn when we see those words a year ago. I mentioned the first night that it had been a year since Paul was with them, and now a year later he's writing to them. But what does that tell us? And what does it teach us? What can we learn? Well, number one, I believe here we have the principle of having an annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. Now listen, everybody, I got your attention? The preacher did not say that the Bible says thou shalt have an annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. That's not what the preacher said, okay? But what I do believe is that the principle is there for it. You say, how so? Well, you think about this with me. Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth 1 year later, he's saying, church at Corinth, here's what I want you to do. You made a promise 1 year ago. And now I want you to take some time and I want you to consider the promise that you made 1 year ago. And as you consider that promise, I want you to think about how you have kept, or in their case, not kept, that promise throughout this past year. And then also, as Paul's writing to them, he's saying, I want you to do a second thing. Now he says, I want you to look ahead. And I want you to determine what you will do now in the future concerning this offering. And is that not what's happening here this week? This annual Faith Promise Missions Conference, there's two things that are going on all at one time. First of all, we're to look back. Look back a year ago and think about the commitment that you made for Faith Promise. Giving by grace towards missions. And as you think back towards that offering, that commitment that you made, let me challenge you. Think about how faithful you have been concerning that offering, or perhaps not faithful that you've been. But consider a year ago. Consider what has happened during that time. And by the way, if you're like most folks, myself included, as we look back, isn't it amazing to see what God has done over the last year? Whew, couldn't we just give testimonies all night long about how good God has been, how He's provided over and over again? Oh, it's an amazing thing to me. It's good to review and see what God's doing in our lives. But this conference is also about looking ahead. Now, what will happen? What commitment will you make in this conference as you look ahead to the next missions year? What is it that God would have you to give as you lift up your eyes and you look on the fields? Tonight we got to see just a little bit of Africa. Did your eyes affect your heart again tonight? Wow. What will you do concerning this offering? You say, well, what happens, preacher, next year? The same thing. All over again. Why does it happen that way? Because we're human beings and we need to be reminded. And I believe that as Paul wrote this, I know he did it by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I believe the reason the Spirit had him put that in there is because each year, annually, is a great time to just stop and look back at what God has done and the commitment we made then, and to look ahead to see what God will have us to do. But I believe there's a second reason possibly why the Spirit included this in this passage of Scripture. And this is where we get this principle concerning faith, promise giving, or grace giving. This commitment that you make is for 1 year. It is a 1 year commitment. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means a couple things. Number one, it means that after you make this commitment, 4 months from now, when something happens with your finances that you were not expecting, that is not an accident. It is a test to see if you will be faithful to trust God even when those difficult times come your way. Because I'm here to promise you, tough times will come. Testing will happen. And this is a commitment that you're making for 1 year. It's one of the reasons we said last night, count the cost. Understand the commitment that you're making. It's a serious commitment. And, you know, there's another practical thing side of this that I would mention as well. Now, I've already talked to Pastor, and he has said that this is not allowed to happen with anyone here. Okay, so this is purely hypothetical. Okay? But hypothetically speaking, let's say that 6 months from now, someone here gets transferred from this place to go to some other state for their job. Now again, Pastor said you're not allowed. But hypothetically speaking, 6 months from now, you were to get transferred somewhere else. What happens concerning that faith, promise, commitment that you've made to God? Well, in my mind, it's simple. You see, it's a commitment that you have made for 1 full year. So 6 months from now, as you transfer, you continue to give that faith promise offering here to Faith Baptist Church until that commitment is ended at the end of this mission year. You say, what do you do then, preacher? Well, hopefully by then you're involved in a good church there. You're already tithing there, and now you can join them in giving faith promise or grace giving. You know, as you make this commitment, it's for 1 full year. It's a serious thing to think about. Consider what the Scripture says when it says a year ago. There are lessons there for us to learn. Now, let's continue on in our passage of Scripture so that we can get out of here before midnight rolls around. Verse number 11. He says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Now, this is extremely important for us to understand concerning faith promise giving. He says that we are to do it. He told them that they are to do it, and there's to be that performance out of that which they have. And as we give this offering, it's to be out of that which we have. What's that mean? Well, you see, there are some who teach and preach faith promise giving this way. They say, well, this is what faith promise is about. You take this card, and you just put some sort of an amount down there, whatever amount you think is good, you put it down there, and you see, if God gives you that amount in some special way, then you give it to God. But you see, if God doesn't give it to you, well, you know, you're off the hook. You don't have to give it because you're just looking for a special offering from God to lay it in your lap, if you will, and give it. I preached messages similar to these in West Virginia in a church there. And at the end of the conference, the pastor came to me and he said, you know, he says, I've never heard it preached that way before. He says, we've been trying to use faith promise giving for the last 14 years in our church. And he says, every preacher I've had to come in has preached it and said, just put a number down on the card. If God gives it to you, then you give it back to God. If God doesn't give it to you, then you're off the hook and you don't have to give it. He says, you know, for the last 14 years, I've tried to understand why faith promise never worked at our church. And he says, now I understand why. We're to give out of that which we have. You see, this is God's order in giving. This is the way He has it set up. Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 6. Turn with me, Luke, chapter number 6. And this is a verse that I think probably all of us know, or at least we're at least very familiar with it. Jesus Christ is speaking here, and the context is that of giving. Luke, chapter 6, verse number 38. And I want you to have your Bibles open in front of you because, you know, sometimes when I read or sometimes when I quote, I don't get it exactly right. Okay, so I want you to watch me now and make sure I get this right. Now here's Jesus. He's talking about giving. Here's what he says. He says, after God gives it to you, then give, and it shall be given. No, some of you caught it. I'm glad. Some of the rest of you are sleeping. You'll catch up later on. That's not what Scripture says, is it? The first word is what?
Give.
Give. God says, this is the order. He says, give, and then it shall be given unto you. Why? God wants to see our faith in action. If God's laid this on our hearts, and this is what God wants us to do, then God's just saying, do it. Perform out of that which you have. Give, and it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom? What's that mean in the Greek? It means you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try. Just do it God's way. You know, I'm a practical kind of guy, so let's get really practical. How does that work? Well, let me tell you how it works for me. As a missionary, even as the President General Director of BIMI, I raise my own support, just like these missionaries do. I do not get paid a salary by BIMI. I have local churches that support me, just like these missionaries. I've raised my own support. And at the end of the month, all of us as missionaries, we get a statement. That statement tells us all the different churches who gave and how much they gave. And we get that check. And we praise the Lord for that check when it comes in. And when that check comes, the first thing that comes out of that check is God's tithe. It's the first thing, because it already belongs to Him. It's just a simple math thing. You know, it's 10%. And by the way, when you do that math, God doesn't mind if you round it up. Okay, He's okay with that. He'll be all right with that, all right? I promise you, all right? But 10%, it belongs to God. It's a tithe. It's His. That comes off the top. That's the first thing I give. The second thing that comes out of that check is my faith promise commitment to missions. Why? Because I'm going to give out of that which I have. I'm not going to wait till the end of the month and say, well, if I have it left over, if God gives it to me in some special way, then I'll give it. No, no, no. By faith, God's told me this is what He wants me to do. And so I'm going to step out by faith and do what He's asked me to do. I'm going to give out of that which I have. And, you know, by the way, again, because I'm so practical, think about this with me. If we only gave it when and if we saw it first, why would we call it faith promise giving? We would have to call it sight promise giving. Or why would God have to bestow a special grace on the churches at Macedonia? Why would we call it grace giving? Why would we be asking God to bestow grace on us to give if, well, we only give it if we saw it first? One of the reasons we need God's grace is there's faith involved in this thing. And God expects us to step out by faith and give out of that which we have. Verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind. We talked about this the other night. Starts with that, a willing mind. He says, it is accepted. That is God's viewpoint or God's acceptance of this gift. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now, by the way, this might be my favorite part of this passage of Scripture of faith promise giving, of grace giving. God's acceptance of this gift is according to what we have, not what we don't have. God's not concerned about what we don't have. God's concerned with what we do have. It's not the portion, but the proportion. And it's how God views the gift that's important, not how we view the gift. Let me give you an example. You see, we may have somebody over here that they give a $50 faith promise offering. Praise God. That's wonderful. That's good. But over here, we have somebody who gives a $100 faith promise offering. Woo! Praise God. That's even better. From the math that they taught me in elementary school, this one is twice what that one is. You know, that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. And, you know, man's viewpoint, man's acceptance of that. Hey, this one's a lot bigger, twice as big as that one. That's a great thing. But you see, there's some things going on here we don't understand. Because this faith promise offering, this $50 faith promise offering is being given out of a $500 budget. Whereas this offering over here, $100 faith promise offering, is being given out of a $5,000 budget. Do you see what just happened? This one's not twice as big as that one. This one's much larger than that one. In God's viewpoint, God's acceptance of this gift. And it's how God views it that counts. And you know, Jesus taught his disciples this lesson. You know, in Mark chapter 12, the Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." It's an amazing thing. These guys were coming by, and they were putting offerings in there, and praise God for it. Jesus didn't tell them not to do it. It was a great thing. That was wonderful. But it was when that widow came and put her two mites in. You notice that's when Jesus said to his disciples, "Hey, fellas, come here. I've got a lesson you need to learn right now. That widow has given more than all the rest of these folks who've been coming and giving this offering." You know, I like the way God looks at our offerings. And one of the things that really encourages me about this is that we can all be involved in faith promise giving. Sometimes I'm afraid people get the idea, well, you know, if I had $1,000 extra a week, I'd get involved. Man, if I had $1,000 extra a week, I don't know what I'd do. Man, it's not about the extra money that we have. It comes down to this: what does God want us to do? And if all we can give is a nickel a week, and that's what God wants us to give, give a nickel a week. Now, dare I say, we can probably all do better than a nickel a week. I hope we will. But you get my point. I believe we can and we should all be involved. Now, I will say again, it's not a command. You don't have to be involved. But I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to miss out on something this great. An opportunity to see God work in my life, to build my faith, to lay up treasure in heaven, that I regularly have the opportunity to not just say to God, "I love you," but to show Him. Oh, what an opportunity. And you know, just let me take this a little bit further, just to maybe kind of get you thinking on this thing. I believe we can all be involved in faith promise giving. Husbands and wives, pray together for God to show you exactly what He would have you to do. I know it's always been fun for Barb and I as we pray and we ask God to show us what He wants us to do. It's been interesting. You know, you get to the conference, and towards the end of the conference, you know, we start talking, and, you know, Barb says, okay, Dave, what are we going to do this year? Well, no, sweetheart, you tell me, what do you think? What's God told you? No, you're the head of the home. You tell me what. No, but I ask you first, and of course I'm the submissive husband, so then I tell. No, I'm kidding. But it's been very interesting as we've gone back and forth. You know, there's been some years where her faith has been a little bit stronger than mine, and other years the other way around. But we always come together and know what God would have us to give as a couple. And husbands and wives, if you aren't already, pray together about what God would have you to do. And, you know, you can even get outside of that. My wife, she gives her own faith promise offering. And, you know, her husband does give her an allowance, but man, he's a cheapskate. She doesn't get much. I'm telling you, it's hardly even worth spending. Excuse me. But, you know, she tithes off of that first because that's what she wants to do. And then after that, she gives a faith promise offering. And when you talk about not portion, but proportion, it amazes me what she gives. And it's amazing to watch what God provides for her personally. It's phenomenal to me. And let me throw out this one more, and I'll be through. I believe young people ought to be involved in faith promise giving too. I think we need to teach our young people how to give. You know, we start with the tithe and explain to them so they understand from Scripture that it already belongs to God. And then we need to challenge them. And by the way, parents, if you have young children, help them fill out the card, because children have a lot of faith. $1,000 a week kind of faith. They really do, you know. That's why we have that thing on there about adult, youth, or child, okay? Help them. But, you know, I remember when we started this with our boys, they were just real young. And, you know, they got an allowance from the same cheapskate that my wife gets it from. So they didn't get a big allowance. But, you know, it was always neat as we first started this to teach them and train them. I would lay out in my hand the coins of the allowance that they were going to get. And I pulled off the coin, their coins that represented the tithe. And I said, that's God's. And then we had already talked about this. They had filled out their faith promise cards so they knew what was for missions. And we pulled that off and set that off the side. That's missions. And it amazed me the first several times we did this. My boys looked at that and they looked at me. And they said, Dad, you mean we get to keep all of that? Out of the mouth of babes. You know, us adults, you know what we're worried about? Man, how am I going to live with all that over there, you know, that we set aside for God? My boys had it right. You mean, God, we get to keep all of this? Our God is an amazing God. And you can't outgive God, no matter how hard you try. Listen, God's given us an amazing example in the churches at Macedonia. And as Paul challenges the church at Corinth and says, hey, look to their example, follow their example. Here are the principles. They're laid out for us. We've just simply done the exact same thing these last three nights. The challenge is there. We don't have to be involved. But oh, I pray, because it's expedient for you, that you will be involved, that you'll follow the example of those churches at Macedonia, so that God can be glorified through your lives individually and through the life of this church. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed, eyes closed.